I'm kind of worried about making sure they're home safe and everything. That was great. Actually, our first scripture in Peter that says that Christ died for sins once for all to bring you safely home. But perfect. This fits in perfect. And how many of you stayed up and watched the game last night? How many of you are happy about the outcome? How many are unhappy about the outcome? They don't care. There you go. All right. I worked the 11 to 9 shift last night, so you might be tired because of watching the game. I'm just plain tired, so hopefully I don't put myself to sleep this morning. I don't think so. But anyway, if you're going to need one of these little story books if you don't have one. So does everybody have one? Everybody got one? Okay. These story books are telling two stories. They're going to be telling Jesus' story, and they're going to be telling our story. So it's a little simple story, your story and his story mixed together. Last week we celebrated Jesus' death and his resurrection, and how that forever changes everything. And today we're going to talk about the same thing, how Jesus' death and resurrection affects us in one specific regard, and that's with the word peace. The word peace. So how Jesus' death brings peace, and how his resurrection changes the peace in our life. So we're going to talk some about that today. When I was a teenager, about 10, 15 years ago, we used to wear those big old peace signs. Remember those things? Mike, remember those?
No.
Yeah, that was 140 at the time, wasn't it? Yeah. I had a big old peace, little big old metal peace things with chain, hung around my neck, silk shirt, afro about that big when I walked. Kind of shook in the air. But that peace sign, that was all the rage with peace signs. They're kind of coming back now. People have the peace signs and things. But I'm just telling you that wearing a peace sign does not necessarily mean you have peace. or writing words about peace or using lovely bumper stickers about peace does not mean you have peace in your heart. The word peace, what does it mean to even have peace? Anybody give me a definition for the word peace? What would that mean? What does it mean to have peace?
Calmness.
Calmness? That's good.
The absence of turmoil.
The absence of turmoil. So the opposite of peace would be turmoil or not being calm. Yeah, that's good. I like that. Turmoil. There might be a confidence that comes along with peace. That's good. So the opposite of that would be having no confidence whatsoever. Worry. Fear. Those would be opposite words to peace, wouldn't they? So if worry was not peace, peace would be a lack of worry. So how many of you have a complete lack of worry in your life right now? I heard your prayer request a little bit, and I know how hard that is. Those are real life things. Can you really have peace when there's things like this happening in your life, with family members, people, or your own, whatever your own uncertain circumstances are? Can you really have peace? What about relationship turmoil? What about peer pressure? What about making choices about college? There's a million things. So worry or not worry, those are all good. So how would you say that in your life, you rate on the peace-o-meter? If there could be such a peace-o-meter. Is there peace in your heart? And how does Jesus' death and his resurrection change your life in regard to having peace? Well, a couple of things we're going to talk about. Well, peace is not, first, before we go on here. Peace is not, have you ever seen the billboards, like a church billboard, like with a super happy, perfect family on it? And everybody's smiling, and everybody's like, what a perfect family. And most of us send out Christmas cards with the perfect family picture on them. Have you ever sent one out like that? And remember when you took that picture, and you're yelling at the kids to smile at the picture to make it picture perfect? And then when you're done, you're ready to knock some heads together. There's no peace. The picture paints a picture of peace. It doesn't necessarily mean there is peace. Anybody ever watched the movie Cheaper by the Dozen? I love that. They're trying to get together for the family, the thing with Oprah. Everything's chaos. That's reality. So can you really have peace? Another thing peace is not just the cessation of hostile feelings towards each other. So in other words, if you have two warring parties, and you sign an agreement, that, let's sign a peace agreement, does that mean that there's peace? So if in the Civil War it ends and the South signs an agreement with the North, does that mean that the day they signed it, it was like, oh, we love you guys. All is forgotten and forgiven. Does that mean that ill feelings and anger and hatred, even to this day, does that still exist? Or even in a home or a marriage, you can say, let's just do, let's just not fight. Well, you may not be fighting, but that doesn't mean that there's not peace, that there's peace. So just stopping warring activities does not mean that the same thing as peace. That's not what we're talking about. If you're an MSU fan and you chose to root for Michigan for the tournament, that does not mean that you love Michigan. It does not mean that there's peace. You still might have conflict, and next year hope you clobber. You know, so peace is just not the cessation of hostile activities. A good definition for peace is to be set right with and made one with. So there's a relational component to peace, not just that things are ironed out, forgiven, and set right. That's part of it, but that there's a oneness, there's a unity together. This is important because Jesus' death and resurrection affects our peace, even in the midst of hard circumstances and real life horrible stuff. So, it's being set right, being made right, just right, and having a oneness together. Now, that's a relationship. If you have two warring parties and you have that happen, that's peace. Okay? That's one of your kids. I'm home. I'm safely home. So if you have a Bible, you can turn there to Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. We'll start here. We'll dig in. I think I have this one on the screen, guys. We can put this one up. Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. You can't find it there. All right. It says, and through him, you know who the him is we're talking about here? Jesus. Through Jesus, God reconciled to himself all things, or the things on earth, or things in heaven, by making what?
Peace
through his blood shed on the cross. So now we're talking about Jesus' death and how that changes our peace. Our peace, our being just right with God, our being made one with him. God reconciled everything that there is to himself when Jesus died on the cross, and he made peace. Now, something important to remember here, have you ever heard the phrase, how many people does it take to have an argument? How many people does it take to have a fight?
At least two.
It starts with two, right? Sometimes you can blossom into more, right? It takes at least two people to have an argument. Now, have you ever been in an argument and you're like, it's all their fault? It's all the other person's fault? But usually, whose fault is it? That's usually her fault. Those guys said it's always your fault. Is it ever their fault, or are you always the one to blame?
It's pretty much always their fault.
Pretty much always their fault? Give me five on that answer. Pretty much always your fault. And that's the way it goes in when there's conflict or turmoil or an argument. Is there, we feel like it takes two to argue. It takes two to be at fault. But in this story, there are not two equal parties at fault here. Because this is telling the story about you and God and the conflict between you and God. And God is not on an equal level with you. This is not like two equal people equally at fault that need to say, oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, God. God says, I'm sorry too. I love you. Let's have peace with each other. No, this is one completely blameless party and one who's at fault. So if you read a little bit earlier in Colossians chapter 1, I love this. Verse 16, for by him all things were created. So through Jesus, all things were created. Then it goes in verse 17. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Did you know at this very moment, in this very room, this whole room, the molecules in your body, everything that's happening in the universe is being held together by him. This is not me talking about an equal party that I need to have peace with. This is God himself. Created all things and holding everything together. If he ever spoke the word or decided, we'd just all come apart of the seams. Our building would go floating around. Pieces would come apart. The atoms and molecules could just be disintegrated. Whatever, you know. He holds everything together. So we're talking about God and my relationship with God. And through Jesus, through his blood on the cross, his sacrifice, his life, God has made peace between me and that God. He's made things just right. He's made us one together. Matter of fact, this verse uses the word reconcile. Anybody know what the word reconcile means? What's that?
Come in agreement.
It means, good, restored to relationship. We'll even just equate it with the word peace. That Jesus restored us to relationship with a holy, awesome God. Making peace. Making us just right. Christ died, Dan, for sins once for all to bring us safely home. So we could have peace. Now, does that peace mean that we're not facing horrible things in this life? Sometimes awesome things in this life? Whether hard, Jesus said, in this life you're going to face trouble. Hey, but take heart. I've overcome the world. Take heart. I'm restoring your relationship with your Father in heaven. Take heart. You can be just one with him. It can be settled. It can be just right. You can have peace regardless of what you face. Okay. I'm going to use an illustration. We'll use your opening here. Okay. So we're going to use this as the dividing line. And on this side, we're going to say this means is where you're just right, or where you have peace, or where you're safely home. The Bible uses the word justified. On this side, we're going to use the word no peace, or instead of just right, we're going to use not right. Look at the person next to you. Are they right, or are they just not quite right? Yeah. You can go ahead and tell them you're just not quite right. Nobody's really not quite right. Josh, I see you looking at your dad, shaking your head in affirmation. Yeah. Or we're going to use the word not safely home. Okay, so the Bible draws a picture of, or condemned, of justified, condemned. Safely home, not home. Peace, no peace. Just right, not quite right. Now, a lot of people live with this uncertainty. Talking about one of the definitions for peace is a confidence, knowing. So this uncertainty, where am I at? Am I kind of in both sides? Am I sometimes I'm right with God, sometimes I'm not quite right with God? Do you know how many times I hear in my life that when people at funerals, like, I think I was good, I think they were good enough, they're a pretty good person, I think they'll make it. That's not confidence. That's not even peace. That's a great uncertainty and an uneasiness with where I am with God. This is what the cross came to make sure that we knew. And so on this side, a lot of people think when you start out life, you start out here on the perfect, I start out life perfect as a baby. Anybody ever raised had a two-year-old? And would you equate that with perfection? But anyway, sometimes people think, I start out here, you know, everything's good. But then I talk bad to my parents. I'm a little bit more towards that side. But then I helped the neighbor lady. I made her some cookies. I moved back a little bit. But I didn't get my homework done and my room clean, so I moved this way a little bit. But I'm nicer than the person I work with, so it does move me over here a little bit. And then keep moving back and forth depending on how many good things we did and how many bad things we did. And by the end of my life, when I breathe my last breath, all I've got at least be is right here. Just barely safe. I think I've been good enough to make it into heaven. That's not how it works. That's not how it operates. Because if you were over here because you did enough good, what Romans 4:4 tells us, if you did that, that means all God would be doing is giving you what he owes you. You've earned peace. You've earned being safely home. And God reminds us, it's not, no, it's a gift. If some people think you start over here in your whole life, I'm just trying, I hope God's happy with me, I got to do enough for him. Maybe one day I'll pray and he'll listen to me, like all those other spiritual people. And maybe one day I'll do enough and get my life straightened out well enough where he'll hear me. That's not how it works either, because if that's the way it worked, all God would be doing was giving you what he owed you. He owed you being over here because you turned out really great, you know? Bible paints a picture that at one time you're all without hope and without God. There's no peace. Not safely home. But then Jesus came and died for sins once for all of us to bring us safely home. Colossians 1:20. That God was in Christ, through him reconciling, restoring all of us. It's a gift. Jesus died on the cross through his blood. So we can have peace with God. So we can be safely home. So that we can have confidence. I belong to him. I'm not bouncing back and forth. I'm his. It's been settled. Things are set just right. I've been restored to friendship. Now, does that mean you're perfect on this side? I mean, I can give you several examples of people here that are at peace with God. It's been settled, but I mean, we're not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. And now when you're over here, it's learning what it looks like to have peace with God. So the question is, have you in your life, do you stand in peace? Has it been settled? And you think, well, you know, I've got a lot of things straightened out. No, you got it all wrong if you think that's the case. That's what the cross was all about. So you can stand in peace. Settled between me and God, made right with God, restored your friendship with God because of the cross. Christ died for sins once for all of us to make peace, to bring us safely home. Romans chapter 3, verse 19 says, no one ever in history, not Moses, and believe it or not even Pastor Cal, was ever good enough to be standing in the square because they were so totally awesome, and cool and holy and did all the right things. No one ever earned their way into this box. Romans chapter 3 and chapter 4, verse 4 reminds us it's a gift. That's what the cross is all about. Jesus wouldn't need to come if he could get over here without him. And then it goes on in verse, I think it's chapter 3, if you write verses down, verse 21, it says, but God shows us now a way we can be just right with him. In verse 21, it says, there's only one way, and that's by putting your faith in Jesus. By trusting in what God has done, saying, thank you for that gift, Lord. Thank you for the cross. And I put my trust in you to do all that for me, to cleanse my sin and make me right. You did it. And now I'm standing in peace. So this morning, I would challenge you. This standing in peace is Jesus' story. But it also either is or can be your story. And so I've got some white sheet on the side, and I'm going to give you just a couple of minutes to maybe even think about, or even on the back side of it, to think about your story in regards to peace. And really all it is your testimony. You know, was there a time you put your trust in Jesus? And what was your life like before then? And when was that day when I put my trust in Jesus when I was whatever years old? Maybe it was recently. And you know, I'm reminded today because of the cross that I have peace with God. And I stand in peace just right, safely home. It's no question. There's no turmoil about that. There's no uncertainty. There's no worry about that. And maybe you've never had a decision to put your faith in Jesus where you just felt like this was settled. If that's the truth, then I'm just telling you that it's encouraging you today. I'm giving you the same invitation God does. Here's a gift. Put your trust in Jesus and have peace with God. Be safely home. Have it settled. And know beyond a shadow of a doubt now, no matter what you face, I have peace with God. I have peace with God. I've been made right. That's the gospel. That's the good news of what Jesus came to do. Okay. I'm going to give you just maybe 30 seconds just to be thanking you and God by your story and you standing in peace. And are you standing in peace? Not responding to Him and standing in peace. And if you have the past, tell Him thank you. And remember what that's like for Him to make peace. Or maybe you one time put trust in Him and you've been very unpeaceful. And today you are, God, are reminded that the cross made peace. Take a moment and just thank Him for that. Respond to Him. Okay, we're going to go on in the story. If you need to keep spending time with Him, do. But the story doesn't end at the cross and just standing in peace. Your story goes on. We're not going to spend a bunch of time on these two, but Jesus didn't die just so we could stand in peace. It's much greater than that. That's not the end of the story. So in Colossians, if you're still there, in chapter 3, verse 1, says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your heart on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Okay? In other words, because Jesus was raised from the dead after He made peace for us and forgave our sins, when Jesus was raised from the dead, in a sense, we were raised with Him. We were given a brand new life, a brand new start, a brand new person. The old is gone. He fills us with the Holy Spirit. We've been raised. We're a new person. And then He goes on in chapter 3 to tell us some of what that looks like. And we're going to skip all the way down to verse 15 as He winds up the section. And this is what He said. Because of the resurrection and we've been raised with Jesus, a brand new person, He says in verse 15, let the, what? Did we see it there? Peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you were called to what?
Peace.
Now, sometimes people think peace is just, okay, whatever. Let's just let it go. Don't let anything bother you. Floating hearts. And, what's the icon, you know, when you're texting? Heart. All it is, all peace is just loving and everybody getting along. No, peace will require, living in peace or walking in peace, go to the next slide, will require the greatest effort, sacrifice, sometimes even burden of your life to walk in peace. So when you've been raised to a new life, He doesn't want you to stand in peace. He wants you to live in peace. He wants you to walk in peace. He wants you to have peace in this life. Again, Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have trouble. Anybody here have trouble in your life right now? Those guys are trouble? Yeah. are they the ones that cause all the trouble? Give me 5 minutes. We may have to have a separate meeting with those boys afterwards in that back room, right? Talk about peace, right? Get straightened out. Well, anyway, He didn't come just to make us stand in peace, but He's helped us so we can live in peace. Because once you're saved, once you're set right with God, you still have to live a real life. You still have to change dirty diapers. You still have to deal with dentists. One of the worst causes of sin in the world. Have to go see a dentist. No! We still have to live as a family. And get along, you still have to deal with personal conflicts in a church or in a community. What a mess it is sometimes. And God said, I didn't just call you staying in peace. I raised you a brand new person so you could walk in peace. That doesn't mean you'll never have, to walk in peace does not mean you will ever have, never have burdens, because what you're facing, that's heavy, it's a burden. When somebody you love is sick, it's a burden. When you find out bad news about your own life or you can't get a job, it's a burden. But how does God help us, what he says, have peace that passes understanding? When reality stinks, how do we have peace that passes understanding? Well, we're not going to cover all those things today, but one in Philippians, God says, tells us to pray when we face trouble or hardship. To pray with thanksgiving. And his peace that passes understanding will rule our hearts and minds. So learning to walk in peace so that even when we're facing hard things, you know, God is with me. He's on my side. He's interceding for me always. He's cheering in my corner. He's working in my behalf. He's given me the Holy Spirit. So God, I got to trust you. I got to cast his care upon you. I want to walk in peace. Okay? Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. You know, the greatest testimony to other people about God's reality in God's people is when we have peace in times that this doesn't make any sense to have peace. And they're like, how do you do this? I could not do it without God. I couldn't make it through this without God. I couldn't put up with this without God. I wouldn't be able to have any hope without God. Because there's a much greater picture than what I can see here, and I trust him. So to walk in peace. You ever have a battery die in your remote? I hate that. When you're laying there with ice cream, and you don't want to get up. That's what you have a remote for. You got your kids to get ice cream for you. And you're staying there, you're trying to make the volume go up, and it won't go up. And it's very, and the thing will change. Nothing more unpeaceful than that happening. Whoa, is me when that happens. So what do? You get up, you put a new battery in, and what should happen with the remote? You don't just change it, the battery, so you can put the remote on the counter and it looks nice. You change the battery so it can work, so it can operate. God gives you a brand new battery in life, so to speak, when you were raised with Christ, so you can live, so you can operate, so we can have peace. Now, I want to be realistic, because it doesn't mean we don't have burdens or deep, deep pain at times in life or grief. We will have all that. But God promises, because of Jesus' death, to make us right, to bring peace, and his resurrection, so we can have peace. And then lastly, from walking in peace, I want you to stop for about 30 seconds again. And I want you to converse with God about how you are doing or where you're at in walking in peace. Is there turmoil? Is there a lack of confidence? Have you ignored him and been mad at him and not cast cares upon him? Do you need his peace? Then ask him right now. You're his child. He's given his spirit. So take a minute right now, this part of your story, and examine how you're walking in peace. Okay, last part of our story. Death of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus. We stand in peace, we walk in peace. But then I'm going to go to scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, my favorite scripture that we'll wind up with. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19. So you can go to the next slide. Don't you love those shoes? How many of you have a pair of bowling shoes that you wear like to school? Hey, they come in style. They're kind of Skechers have some really cool shoes. Look like bowling shoes, you know? This is the only picture I could find of two pairs of feet standing by each other. When we walk in peace, God has called us to live our life for this purpose, to share peace with the world. Blessed are the peacemakers. We aren't just in this world. We didn't just get saved and we didn't walk in peace just so my life can be happy. And it's not all just about me, although God reminds us it is about you too, because he loves you and gave his life for you. But it's also so now, because I've experienced peace and I have peace, I can share peace. I can be a peacemaker. So whether I'm bowling with a friend or doing life with whoever I'm doing life with, you are God's agent of peace in that situation. And here's how 2 Corinthians chapter 5 puts it, verse 19. God was reconciling the world to himself. We just talked about that. God was restoring the world to himself in Christ. That's the gospel. Not counting men's sins against them. He's made peace. Okay, so that's part of the story we talked about. I love that. That's one of my favorite ways to put the gospel. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting our sins against us. Then he goes on to say, and now he has given to you and I, to us, the message of reconciliation, the message of peace. How does peace come to people's lives? How does peace filter into their turmoil? How does peace happen between a person and God? Because he's chosen you and I to go share the peace that we've now experienced. We're the messengers of peace. He's called us to share peace. And how does that happen? How do we share this gospel of peace with so much? You know, we live in a time of great hatred. You ever read some of the articles, some of the stuff on Facebook about some of the issues we've been facing here in our country and around the world? I mean, sometimes it gets so volatile, and he's called us to be peacemakers. To bring the gospel of peace into the situation. Between warring parties, sometimes to lay down our lives for the purpose of peace, because this is the whole reason we exist, was to have peace with God and help others find peace with God. This week, I had a chance, on Wednesday, I did some steelhead fishing, right? And as usual, I didn't catch anything. Maybe sometime he'd go show me how it was done. But I took a 15-year-old kid, his name's CJ, and CJ, a year ago on Wednesday, his brother was murdered. And it's had just a huge impact on CJ. And CJ and I've connected, so I try every once in a while on key moments, key days to do something with CJ. And so CJ and I had a couple hours in the car there, and fishing along the shore, and hiking, you know, and it was an opportunity for me to be a peacemaker about some heavy turmoil in CJ's life. 1 year anniversary of his brother's murder. Just, you know, in the car sobbing. We took a time to stop and pray. I didn't do that because I'm CJ's pastor. I'm not his pastor. I'm CJ's friend. I'm a messenger of peace to a kid in great turmoil, and get to share with him on that day both friendship and that CJ, there's a God who's greater with promises that are greater than all this world can hold. And as we prayed, CJ wept, you know. Now I thank you, God, that today I've got to be a messenger of peace. And he's planted you in all kinds of relationships and situations to be an ambassador of reconciliation, of someone who shares peace, whether it's who points people to being restored to a relationship with God or restored relationship with each other. And sometimes even working through our own relationship issues, because we aren't above those for sure. How do we... The bird is in conflicts of life God's planted you in. So the rest of this goes on. I'll just finish reading it. We all are therefore Christ's ambassadors. And it was like this, as if God were speaking to the world through you, making his appeal to others through you. We beg you, world, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Be restored to God. Have peace with God. We beg you, we point to him, our lives are about pointing to him, our lives about learning to walk like that. I love this. And then verse 21 says, God made him, Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us on the cross, so that in him we might be just right with God. We could have peace with God. Okay, would you pray with me? You don't even have to close your eyes. You can look up to the heavens. You can kneel at your chair. You can stand and raise your hands. You just respond to God. And Father, I thank you that you, through Jesus, reconciled us to yourself and made peace. At one time, I was an enemy of yours, without hope and without God in this world. But now, in Christ, for his death on the cross, had been brought safely home, and peace has been purchased by the blood on the cross, by a life on the cross in my place. I didn't earn it. I don't deserve it. I'm no better than anyone on the planet. It's a gift. So thank you, God, that we can stand in peace. And thank you for raising us to a brand new life so we can live forever. And in this life, we can walk in peace. And for those that need it in this room today, God, pour your peace out by the power of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of peace, in whatever turmoil they're facing. Strengthen them. Bless them. And Lord, equip us to be peacemakers and to share peace wherever we're going throughout our whole life. Through the power of the risen Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, if you, on the very first page, standing in peace, if this is something for you to wrestle with, and you're like, I'm never always so uncertain about whether I would go to heaven or right with God or whatever, and today you're like, it's a gift. I'm trusting him, and I know because of what Jesus, I've been made right with God. Today I'm standing in peace. I've never been able to say that before. I would encourage you to tear that first page off and put your name on it and give it to, well, Cal's not here. Would you take it? And somebody would want to have, you know, just so Cal or somebody can call you later and say, man, it's so awesome. And keep growing in that. Don't have doubts in that thing. And they can rejoice with you together. But anyway, hey, thanks for having me here today. Great to share with you about the peace of God.